Well, we want to thank the Lord for the opportunity to look into the Word of God. I can only speak for myself, but knowing people as well as I feel like I do, being around people that deal with the same things in life that I deal with, I feel like that as we see the things that are transpiring today, things we have to deal with, disappointments, sorrows, pain, suffering, watching children and grandchildren getting involved in things that are causing hurts and sorrows in their lives, I feel like that you're probably like I am from time to time. I need encouragement from the Lord. And I want to try to, by the help of the Lord, bring some encouragement this morning. The Bible says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And, you know, we have a tendency sometimes to get caught up with the cares of life and looking at things the way the world looks at them. And I don't believe the Lord wants us to look at things the way the world looks at them. I believe He wants us to look at things a little different, a lot different. And I want to use an old story that's familiar to us in the Old Testament, and found in the book of Numbers, about the children of Israel, in order to try to encourage us here this morning to just keep your eyes and your faith in Jesus, on Jesus. Because my little thought was, lack of faith can hinder our vision. The lack of faith can hinder what we see. I want to read in the 13th chapter of Numbers, and we will do some reading. Just a few of us here today, but we probably only have one service. So I'd like to begin reading in the 13th chapter of Numbers. It's a story about the children of Israel. Okay, bring you up to par here, where the children of Israel are about to go over into the land of Canaan. They had been through the wilderness and they were about to go to the land of Canaan. And remember that God was directing all of this. He directed their escape or deliverance from Egypt. He was with them and showed Himself strong and mighty when they came to the Red Sea. He gave them water when they were thirsty and food when they were hungry. God took care of His people. And I want us to be encouraged this morning. God will always take care of His people. He always will. He promised He would. And He will always take care of His people. So, the Lord came here, it says, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel, and he begins to give all of their names. Then he says in the 17th verse, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong, or weak, or few, or many. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin and Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishiah, and Talmiah, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Malachites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. Now, here's the story of Moses sending 12 men over to spy out the promised land. Canaan was the promised land. It was a land that God had promised to his people, to his children. And Moses, God told Moses to send some people over there to look out the land and see what the land had for them and what was in store for them. But I want us to notice that right at the beginning, when God began to give the word to Moses, He said, Send the men that they may go search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Now, when God goes to give us something, it isn't for us to decide whether we can take it or not. If God has that for us, and He's promised it to us, you and I, all we've got to do is claim it. Stand on the promise and claim it. These men went over there and they saw a rich land. They saw a land that was flowing with milk and honey. They won one cluster of grapes. Two men had to bear it. It was so full of grapes. But it wasn't a matter of them going over. They weren't sent over there to decide whether they could take it or not. They were sent over there to kind of spy out the land and see what was in store, and the kind of enemies that they were going to face, and the kind of cities that they were going to deal with. But it wasn't a matter of whether they could take it or not, because God said, I give it to them. And you know, that's the way it is with us many times when we come to the Lord and in our salvation, and we come to that place of Jordan, when we are looking over into that land of promise that God has given you and I, that land of what we call sanctification. When we get over there, folks, that's the beginning of our big trials. It's the beginning of the giants, isn't it? It's the beginning of the hard places and difficult places in our life. And most of us here, if not all of us, are in that place. And we're fighting those giants. And we're in that land. But I want us to be encouraged to know that God didn't say, well, see if you're able to take it, but He said, I give it to you. And this land that the enemies that we have, you and I have to conquer every day, it's been given you and I to conquer those enemies. It isn't a question. It should not be a question in our mind. It is not a matter of whether I'm able to do it or not. You and I, Jesus said we can't do anything without Him. But with Him, folks, Paul said we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. And you and I today that are fighting our battles and our giants in the land of Canaan, and we're facing those hard and difficult places, discouragements and things like that, folks, we got to be very careful of how we look at those kind of things, how we see those things. 10 men came back with an evil report. 10 men came back and said, well, you know, there's a lot of good over there. It's a good land, but we're not going to be able to, we can't tear down those big fenced cities and those walls, and we can't fight against those giants because we're as grasshoppers before them. It wasn't a matter of that. So they went over there already with their mindset to go over there to see whether we can do this or not. And I want to encourage you this morning. Folks, it's not a matter of whether we can do it or not. It's a matter that God told us that we can make heaven. That's why He sent His Son here. That's why Jesus gave His life, that you and I can make heaven. He gave us everything possible, everything we need that we can make heaven our home, no matter what it is that we have to face, no matter what it is that we have to deal with. It's not a matter of whether we can or not. It's a matter if we've got enough grace of God on hand in our life. It's a matter of whether we've got enough power on hand in our life. And it's a matter of how that we look at the things. You know, a lot of times, things that happen to us, it isn't so much the thing that happens, but how we handle it and how we deal with those kind of things, the attitudes that we take to things. I want to bring out a little human point here about how that we perceive things. This year, y'all know that my wife and I moved and we sold our house, and this house that we sold, we built that house 13 years ago. Moved in it 13 years ago, the end of this month. And it was just the way we wanted it. We went and we saw different models and this, and we built a house the way that we wanted it. I really liked that house. Still, I really liked that house. It was laid out just perfect for me. Had an openness about it that I enjoyed. And we had everything done. We opened up the doors and made them wider, so when we got old, if we needed wheelchairs, we'd be able to negotiate through the rooms and all. Just the way I wanted it. A real nice brick home. And I really enjoyed my house. And then my wife, she says, well, we got too much to take care of. We got too much to deal with, and I'm not able. I just don't feel able anymore to deal with the things that her part of it. But I still didn't want to move. I still didn't want to sell the house. 3 years later, this year, she kept pressing the issue. And I finally gave in and said, all right, we'll sell the house. Do you know, as we begin to move on and we bought the one that we're living in now and we started getting rid of things and working over there at the house and painting and getting ready to sell and all that, you know what? That house became less and less attractive to me. It was to the point where I realized we had already moved on. We got another place we're going to live. And that house became less and less. I knew I wasn't going to be able to live there. And it came right down to the point where I don't hate the house, but I was just wanting to see it go and wanting to be done with it. And that's the way the enemy will work on us, on our nerves sometimes. And when we're dealing with a problem or a situation, a trial that seems to go on and on and on. And we've got to be very careful that we keep the right attitudes. My attitude about the house was I didn't want to go there, over there anymore. My wife went over there a lot of times without me. I just didn't want to go because I knew I couldn't have it. I knew it wasn't mine. I mean, we were going to sell it, and we did. But my whole outlook on the house changed. Posey, my wife, she does not like electronic toys. She doesn't like computers. She doesn't like iPads. She doesn't like cell phones. And here a month ago, the provider that I had for years for my cell phone, they gave up the cell phone business, and we had to go on to another provider. And you know, most of us know that when you do that, you've got to get rid of your old phone and you got to buy one of their phones. Posey doesn't like phones, and she seems to be so challenged by them and how to use them, and she's almost turned off to them that she doesn't even really seem to want to try to even understand how they work. And it's the way that she looks at those phones. She talks about them sometimes, people on their phones all the time, people doing this, people doing that. She said for a long time, one thing I'll never do is text. She said that is so, I can't think of a term. But she said, I think if you want to tell somebody something, you need to call them and talk to them. She said, I'm not going to text. Well, guess what? She texts now. But she's struggling with that because she's got a new phone. I try to show her how it's done. She says she gets a message and she can't find the message. She brings the phone to me. I pull up the message, show it to her, and then she gets all frustrated and upset about it and wants to know, how did you do that? When I go try to show her how I did it, she doesn't want to pay attention and try to learn how I did it. It's the mental attitude. And that's what I'm really wanting you to get. I'm not knocking my wife. It's the mental attitude that we get about things. Think about that for a second. Your mental attitude has a lot to do with the way you see things, with the way that you perceive things. It's your mental attitude. If you're already, if you're dealing with something and you're, as the saying is, you're turned off with it, folks, you're not going to look at it in the right way. You're not going to look at it in the right perspective. If that thing goes against how you feel about it, like Posey's phone, she's already turned off with it because she doesn't like phones. She doesn't try to learn. She says she does, but I say I don't feel like she tries very hard to learn. Well, she's not. She's a very intelligent person. But she doesn't like them. See, it's the mental attitude that she has. It was the mental attitude that I began to get about our old house. I loved that house. It was exactly what I wanted to die in. And I thought that's what we were going to do. But as time went on and as I saw that we were leaving and I wasn't going to, I began to develop a mental attitude about that house. I just didn't want to go there anymore. I didn't want to go over there. Go in there, walk around, and I really loved it. But the whole feeling was different. The whole thing was different about that house because I knew I wasn't going to get to live there anymore. That's one of the things that you and I have to deal with in life is our mental attitudes. How we look at it mentally. These 10 fellas went over there and they saw all the giants, and they saw how the enemy was, and they saw all the big cities and the Hittites and the Jebusites and all the other ites over there. It might even been some termites over there, I don't know, but there was a lot of ites over there, and they saw all those things, and they got this mental attitude. Wow, boy, look at the walls of Jericho. Those walls are so tall, they're so high, and there's no way that we can take something like that. It's too fortified. It's too strong. And they got this mental attitude after God said, the land that I'm going to give to you and I. And as we deal with our salvation, as we work out our salvation, it says work out your own soul salvation, doesn't it? As we do that thing, we've got to keep the right mental attitude. We've got to look at it in God's perspective, not our perspective. When we look at things with God left out, we're going to get discouraged every time. But when we look at things and put God in the picture, put God in the planning of it, put God in the dealings of it. When I look on this country and we see the direction that it's going and how that everything is failing and the hatred and the strife and all the trouble that's going on there, folks, I'm glad that when I look on that and I see that I have something, a hope that's greater than that. It's greater than the Supreme Court. It's greater than our government. It's greater than any man. My hope goes beyond all of that. My hope goes right straight through Jesus Christ this morning. That's my hope. That's my encouragement. That's who I'm looking to bring me to my heavenly home someday. My hope is in Jesus Christ. But there's two fellows that went over there that the Bible says Joshua and Caleb wholly followed the Lord. May the Lord help you and I to wholly. That wholly is W-H-O-L-Y. Completely follow the Lord in their life. They loved the Lord. They believed their God. And I read it again. He said, "Search the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel." Folks, God has given us some blessed things this morning. He's given us things to be encouraged about, to have a hope in. We don't have to go around in despair when we look at all those things. I read in somewhere where it said that there was a school, was it in Colorado or somewhere, where the Muslims forced them to take Christmas out of the school program this year. There's just all kinds of disheartening things that we see, that we hear, that are going on all around us. I don't want us to be like those 10 fellows that went over there to Canaan and spied it out and decided that, oh, we can't do this. Saints, we can do it by the grace of God. With the help of the Lord, no matter how overwhelming, and it does get overwhelming sometimes, doesn't it? I'm not saying we may not get discouraged. I'm not saying that it won't take us under maybe sometimes, but I'm saying keep the right mental attitude. Look at the situation with God in it. Do you know you and I today, as we deal with life and deal with, you know, I've told Posey many times, I said, I just sit around at home and I just wait for the next shoe to fall. Just wait for the next phone call. Something's going to happen to one of my grandchildren. Something's going to happen to one of my children. So I'm going to hear about one of the homes, they're not doing well and they end up in divorce. There's all these kind of things that we can just sit around and worry about if we want to sit around and worry about things. But I am waiting for the next shoe to fall. I'm waiting to see what's going to happen next, because in this world that we live in, folks, there's all kinds of those kind of things that are happening. And we know that if people don't turn to God, if they don't give their heart to God, I was telling her last night, I said, here our daughter-in-law has been put in the hospital. This could be very serious. We've known of people that have lost their lives and the baby with this thing. I said, when is our son and daughter-in-law going to think about putting Christ in their life? They live every day. They don't go to church. They don't think about going to church. When are they going to put Christ in their life? When are they going to understand? My dad said, why is everybody like hogs in the hog lot? They go around, they're under an acorn tree and they're eating those acorns all day long, but they never look up to see where they're coming from. Scott got into trouble last night. His wife was told to be taken to the hospital. They admitted her and he calls us. What can we do but pray? And he knows that. When is our children going to turn to God? You know, here's what I believe. I believe that our children, that there's a time when God will accept them calling us parents, moms and dads, for prayer. I believe there's a time God will accept that and He will intercede for them. But I also believe the time will come when He's going to require something out of them to make a move towards Him. This is my son. He said, hear him. This is my son. He's the one that we're all to come to, folks. I'm glad that we can make importuning for our children. And Jesus hears and answers and He makes importuning for us. But folks, there's going to come a time when these children and our loved ones and those that realize and know there's a God and that He gave His Son as a sacrifice for us. There's got to be a time when they got to realize, folks, we just gonna go around taking all the acorns and eating, getting all the blessings without giving something back to Him. without giving love back to Him. Our mental attitude can be broken down sometimes. But you know what, folks? I want to encourage us today. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Our faith can take us through. When they come along and ask us to denounce the fact that Jesus came as a Savior, don't deny it. Don't accept it. Stand your ground. Folks, I don't know what we're going to face, but we've got to be very careful of allowing the battles to overwhelm us. They will and they can overwhelm us. And I'm not exempted from that. We're all human. And sometimes things can come along and they can be overwhelming to us. I'm thinking of a family right now among the saints that they're in a battle that's overwhelming. And I'm begging the Lord to give them a breakthrough and to help them through this thing. But we've got to stand our ground, folks. We've got to learn to dig in. You ever hear about it? You've heard that thing. Dig in until God moves. Because He's the captain. He's the one that promised to lead us. He's the one that promised to be with us. Dig in until God moves. And while we are digging in, folks, there are some things that we need to do. Not just sit around and wait on the Lord and crying and being in all despair like these fellows were. Oh, we can't do this, we can't do that, and the giants are over there and it's just too much for us. We'll never be able to do it. Folks, while we're digging in, there's some things that we need to do. We need to check our consecration. We need to do more committing and submitting to the Lord. We need maybe to do some more dying out to self. And those things and places where the enemy is taking advantage of us, and give them things, those things to the Lord, that the enemy is not able to take advantage of us in those places anymore. Paul said, I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him. There's some things we can do when we go to dig in. When these things begin to overwhelm us. And that's what that's the problem with those 10 fellows. It was overwhelming. It was the mental attitude that they had when they saw all this thing. They come back, oh, we can't do this. But they didn't realize what that would do to the people when they came back and told them those things, did they? They didn't seem to realize what that would do to the people. Saints, there's few of us here this morning. But God has more than that. But Lord, help us to realize what God can do with us. If we're faithful, if we hold true and not succumb to the pressures that are around us, if we'll just hold true. I remember an old sister, she's 89 years old now, down in Holly Hill, South Carolina. She said several years ago her husband wasn't saved. He did get saved. He's dead and gone now. But back, they lived in Charleston, South Carolina, and she drove like 70 miles to service on a Wednesday night. And her husband used to say, why are you driving all the way up there for that? He said, there's only going to be two or three of you there, so and so and so and so. And she said, yes, but I'll be there. I'll be there. Folks, sometimes we don't understand what a difference that makes when we make our importuning to God. When He looks on us and sees our faithfulness, our desire, our purpose in order to please Him and to serve Him. I'm not saying that making sure that you're in service every time is the answer to these. I'm saying that's part of it. It's part of our dedication, our consecration, our committing to the Lord, putting forth the effort that He put forth for us when He carried that cross up to Calvary and laid down on it and gave His life for us. Learn to dig in. You know what I believe? Well, we all know this. God is trying to prepare, and He's working to prepare the Latter-day Church for the scourge of His wrath upon the wickedness of mankind. He's preparing us, folks, for the Latter-day scourge of His wrath upon the wickedness of man. It's coming. It doesn't take a great prophet to tell you folks that. And you already know it's coming. What we see now is minimal. It's small to what we're going to see. If the Lord spares His coming in our lives, it's small of what we're going to see and what we're going to have to deal with. So I'm saying this morning, and I'm encouraging us, dig in. Hold on. Keep the right mental, human mental attitude that as we look upon things, because of our lack of faith, if our faith fails, folks, we'll fail. If our faith fails, we'll fail. Do you know that Peter told us in the Scriptures, he said judgment must first begin, didn't he? At the house of God. Lord, why am I going through all these hot battles? Why am I going through all these difficult trials and places in my life? Lord, why is this falling down? Why is my children doing this? And why is this doing... Folks, judgment. God, we're being tried. He said we would be tried and made white. Would be brought through the fire. We're being tried today. And Lord, help us to keep the right... to keep our focus upon this thing. Sometimes we just go through motions and things and say, well, you know, it's time to do this. And time. But folks, God has a purpose for it all. And it's all to bring man to judgment. Bring the church to judgment. You and I are a part of this great church that God has built through His Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it a blessing to be a part of it? It certainly is. And we're fighting those battles in the land of Canaan today. But I'm glad that two fellows came back. And they was looking at it through God's eyes. They was looking at it through the right perspective. God said, He's going to give it to us, and we can do this thing. And I want to encourage you this morning, folks. God said He'd give it to you, and you can do this. You can do this by the grace of God. We can't none of us do it on our own. But by the grace of God, we can do these things. We can remain faithful. You know, many times, just recently, I was in prayer this week, and it brings a shudder to my soul, to my spirit, to think of the people that are deceived in our world today. People that are born in homes that are and raised in other doctrines and teachings and that it's instilled in them and they believe those things yet today and they're deceived. It makes me shudder to think that God had mercy on me, on my soul, allowed me to be raised in a home that actually believed in the truth, that taught the truth, lived the truth, handed down to me. What a great heritage that we have today. Can we do this? Yes, we can do this. By the grace of God, we can do it, folks. Hold on. Dig in and hold on. Judgment must first begin. Peter told us that. At the house of God. And it must begin with us, folks. You know, I heard the story about a man that had a garden. And the garden was full of weeds. He had a hoe, but his garden was still full of weeds. If he'd use his hoe, he could weed out the garden, couldn't he? Lord's given us some things to use, the things to work with, folks. And He's given us the hoe, but we've got to be humble enough and willing enough and submissive enough to His will and purpose in our life that we're willing to dig out the weeds and get them out of our garden and get them out of our way, those things that will hinder us on this journey. Because we're on a journey, and you know what? I believe we're on the end of the journey and making heaven our home. And I want to hold on, and I want to be faithful. If I don't hold on, I want you to hold on. But by the grace of God, it's my full intention to hold on because I want to make heaven. And then we won't have to deal with any of these things anymore, will we? Won't have to deal with them. I want you to consider another thing. When the children of Israel sent those spies over there at this particular time of life, and they sent those spies over there to Canaan land, I want you to understand a little bit about the culture of the land of Canaan. The culture of the people of the land of Canaan. There have been excavations that have been done over there that reveal a culture that was dominated. Well, this is when the children of Israel was over there. Dominated by immoral religious cults, honoring the gods of Baal, Asherah, and Ishtar. High places, sacred trees, and idolatry were common forms of worship. The paganistic and gross immorality of the Canaanites' religion was in direct contrast to the revealed religion of Israel. You see, they were worshiping false gods. They had high places set up. Idolatry was all over the place. Do you see any difference? I tell you that to ask you this. Do you see any difference of that time when the spies went over to Canaan than where you and I are today? Than the land that we are in today? We find ourselves in that same land, don't we? We find the gods of sports and entertainment and all the other things that are in the world, what people are worshiping today. We talk about the sacrifice, and it is a sacrifice, I understand that, of making a coming to service. But you know there'll be people driving for hundreds of miles to go down to wherever the football games are and sit out there in that cold weather. It may snow and it may do all kinds of things. And they'll sit there for 3 hours to watch a football game. You think, folks, we're living in the same time the children of Israel went over into the land of Canaan. The gods, the heathenness, the wickedness, the paganism that was going on there, it's going on today. See the contrast of what you and I are dealing with today? Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be Joshua's and Caleb's. Lord, we can do this. You promised us. You gave this to us. Jesus said, Peter, on this rock I will build my church. Oh, I tell you, I was thinking about that the other day. People believe that God, that Jesus was saying, Peter, I'm going to build this church on you. Folks, can you imagine the audacity of someone believing that God was going to build a church here on earth on a man? On a mere man? And yet people believe that today. People believe that Peter and his descendants as the head of the church. God have mercy on us, folks. We're living in a pagan land today. A land of deception. A land that has failed God. We're living in a nation that's turned their back on God. But you and I keep the right mental attitude. Let your faith be strong, because your faith can hinder your vision if it's not strong. Let our faith be strong in God. I'm not talking about faith and trusting Him to heal our bodies and things. I'm talking about having a faith, a belief in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I'm talking about a faith in a system that Jesus set up here on earth in a church where there is where only the unadulterated Word of Truth goes forth to feed God's people. Believing in a blood that was shed as a sacrifice for man that could cleanse us from sin. Believing in a virgin birth. Believing in, let our faith be strong today. Yes, it really happened. I wasn't there. You weren't there when Jesus came and did those things. But I believe with all my heart that it really happened. That it really is. As I told my wife, I don't have to see those things on film. I can experience them right here in my own heart and life. I can see what God is doing. I can see what God does. And I can experience it right here. It's amazing how two people can look at the same thing and see something different, isn't it? That's what happened there on the cross. One thief looked at Him and saw Him as a redempted Savior. The other one looked at Him and all he was interested in saving His skin. How two people can look at two different things, or look at the same thing and see something different. It's our mental attitude many times. Many times. In verse 31 of where I read, it says, but the men, and I'll move on, but the men that went up with Him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Doubt. Lord, help us not to doubt. Doubt magnifies the difficult conditions that we have to deal with. Don't doubt God. Let your faith be strong in God. The land was a good land, wasn't it? It was a good land. Folks, God doesn't have anything but the best for God's, for His people. He's got a good land for every one of us. And sometimes we've got to take our minds, and we've got to close our eyes and take our minds off of that picture that we're looking at, that terrible thing that's going on, and realize God has given us a land that is flowing with milk and honey. A blessed land. Jesus died that you and I could enjoy that. I'm thankful for that this morning. It was a good land, and He was giving it to him because He gives the best to His people. I want to turn over to the very next chapter and read the first four verses here. And all the congregation, and after they heard the report, the evil report, all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and people wept that night. I imagine it was probably very little sleep gotten that night to think that Moses wants us to go over there and this land's got giants and all kinds of horrible things that we might have to face. And they listened to this and the doubt that was instilled in their mind. Doubt destroys our ability to fight. Doubt destroys our ability to stand. It destroys our ability to overcome. Lord, help us not to be doubters. Help us to take you at the word, at your word. What did the Bible say? The victory that we will overcome with is what? Even our faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. Joshua and Caleb. Just think about Joshua and Caleb. Take them with you today. When you get in these places, think of Joshua and Caleb. How the Lord blessed them and how the Lord used them, and they brought back a good report. But the people wept all night, and the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Now the murmuring comes, doesn't it? Now the despair comes, the confusion, wallowing in self-pity. That's what they begin to do here. And it said here, and the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. What happened? Moses and Aaron, they were their leaders, but they started looking a little different to them, didn't they? Just like my house started looking a little different to me because I knew I wasn't going to have it anymore. Now they felt like Moses and Aaron was leading them into maybe a trap or to a death trap. And so they became unhappy with them, and they murmured. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Do you know something, folks? God can take care of that. If that's what you want God to do, God can do that. He can take care of that. But He didn't permit him to die over there at that time. But He did later, didn't He? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into the land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return unto Egypt. All the despair that those 10 men brought, all the confusion that they caused, it led to one thing. Rebellion. Rebellion against the leaders. Rebellion against, ultimately, the rebellion against God. Lord, help you and I that we will keep doubt. Keep doubt out. Keep it out. Hold on. Dig in. Stand our ground. Trusting. Believing. Knowing that God is still on His throne. Has all power in heaven and earth. I believe that this morning. I'm willing to die right here today. Rather than deny that that is the truth. That is the truth, folks. God is still in charge of this thing. They said, let us make a captain. We have a captain. We have a captain that is leading us. And he's not telling us to retreat. He's telling us to go forward. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind and going forward, didn't he? Our captain says, go forward, no matter how wicked the world gets, no matter how difficult man is, no matter how much hatred triumphs in our land, folks. He said, go forward and serve the Lord. Serve Him with all. Serve Him and love Him with what? All of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Don't let the devil do anything to change that. Go forward. Paul encourages us in his writings to, one, war good warfare. Lord, help us to know, learn how to fight, and to dig in. Keep our eyes on Jesus, he said. He told us to put on the whole armor of God. See, there's things that we can do to help to sustain us here. To work with God. We need to work with God as God works with us. Not rebelling and not fighting against or not murmuring or complaining. Put on the whole armor of God. And the last one he says, fight the good fight of faith. Sometimes we get so, our mental attitude gets in the way sometimes. And we just, if that's the way it is, I guess I'll just give up. I guess I'll just quit. Fight the good fight of faith. Lord, help us to do that. Paul said he had finished his course. One of these days we're going to finish our course. I have done many, many, many funerals. I never dreamed that when I started out as a minister that I would end up doing so many. I've done many funerals. We're all going to finish our course. Just like it said in our Sunday school lesson, for those people that are out in sin, someday the party's over. Party don't last forever. This life is temporary and everything in it. But it's the beginning of an Eden to come for you and I this morning. Paul finished his course of life and he stood on the testimony that he had kept the faith. May the Lord help you and I to keep the faith, to be strong in God's grace, keep courage. You know, when they came back with that evil report, it just took all the courage out of them. You know, I feel sure that when they came up to the Jordan River and they knew that that land was going to be their land and that was a promised land, they knew that. And I believe they had a lot of courage. Oh, can't hardly wait to get over there and open this present that God has promised to us. And these people came back and just took the wind right out of their sails, didn't they? Just took the wind right out of their sails. And they start, oh, well, maybe we can't do that. Took 10 guys' word. We can't do that. And the whole congregation. You know, leaders got to be very careful, folks. When they start looking at things wrong, it kind of affects others. Lord, help us today to be strong in God's grace. Paul stood on his testimony that he kept the faith. We need something to stand on too, don't we? Lord, help us to be like Paul, never fearing or doubting. But Lord, help us to look forward to the victories. That's what they should have been doing. Listening to Joshua and Caleb, we got a lot of victories to look forward to over there. Because God said, I give it to you. That I give to the children of Israel. He's given us something today, folks. And I want us to be able to enjoy what He has given us. I will take a little bit more time if I could. And I want to read Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. I really like this beginning of this chapter especially. Isaiah 43 and 1. God says, But now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob. This is what God says, folks. And he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Isn't that encouraging? That's encouraging to me. I have I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. I have redeemed you. Isn't that what God has done for us? Jesus has done for us. He said, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Folks, who said that? Who said these things? It wasn't the president. It wasn't the Supreme Court. It wasn't no man. It was God. You're going, and he didn't say, if you go through those things, folks. He said, when you go through those things. So let's get a mental attitude. Get it in our mind. We're going to go through them. All of us are. Something's going to take me out of here someday. I'm going to go through some hard, difficult, dark places. And he said he'd be with me always. Even to the end of that, when I draw my last breath. When thou passest through, not if. You're going to pass through some, folks. You're going to pass through some. But when you do it, he said, I will be with you. And if you go through the fire, you're not going to be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Boy, he proved that in a literal way with the three Hebrew children, didn't he? In a literal way. I'll be with you. He proved the waters when they went through the Red Sea. And the Jordan River. When you go through the rivers, the waters, and the fire, I will be with thee. God's promised that. I'm going to take that promise. And I'm going to stand on that promise. I'm not going to say, well, Lord, this is too great. This is too hard. This is too difficult. Those giants are just too big for me. No, he said, I'll be with you when you go through those. You won't have to do it by yourself. Our faith has to take that in. Our faith has to be strong and realize God is with me in this. I'm not in this alone. I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Remember that? Whenever I brought you out of bondage and delivered you, I gave the Egyptians up for you. I destroyed them for you. You're my people. Folks, God is the only one that can destroy our enemies, and He will destroy them for us. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. Do you feel precious in the Lord's sight this morning? What was our first song? I am a child of God. Folks, what a testimony. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Jesus loves us this morning. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. Fear not. If they would have just listened to the Lord, those other 10 men, if they'd have just listened to the Lord, but they had this mental mindset, mental attitude, they went over there and they started looking around and seeing how difficult things were and said, we can't do this. You know, that's the way people are sometimes that are endeavoring to live for the Lord. They come up against something that's hard. They get in that proverbial rock in a hard place. And they say, we can't do this. I can't do it. This is as far as I can go. The devil likes that. The devil loves that. The devil would have us to get that kind of a mental mindset. This is far as I can't do it. It's too hard. Why? Because it may cost me my life? Well, that's what I'm living for, folks. To give my life for Him. When I was laying there in that bed that night, and after my body had settled down from the convulsions, I said, I don't know whether I'm going to live or die. I raised both hands to God. Said it out loud. Posey laying there beside me. I said, but I'm going to trust you. Whether I live or whether I die. God, from that night on, began to cause my body to mend. Folks, it's God's. Whatever we have, it's God's. Any wisdom, any intelligence, any money, any earthly thing, anything, everything we got, it's God's. It's not ours. Why would man get exalted over anything that he has? It's God that gave it to us. It's God's. Fear not. For I am with thee. You know this little verse in the 17th verse of Obadiah? One of my favorite Old Testament scriptures. Up on Mount Zion. Mount Zion. In the church. There shall be deliverance. And there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Folks, it's ours to possess. It's ours to get a hold of. It's ours to keep. It's ours to own. You want to own something? Own the devil. Be so strong in the grace and the power of God that you can just whatever he comes against you with, all those fiery darts just have to fall because you're safe in the arms of Jesus. Thank the Lord this morning. Do you know that God never intended to save us and leave us? He never intended to just save us and leave us. So he's still with us, isn't he? I have one more that I want to read. I have a couple, but I'm only going to read one more, and then I'll sit down here. It's found in Deuteronomy. It's Moses. God speaking to Moses here. Deuteronomy 31. So let me read this, and I'll try to sit down. Deuteronomy 31, verse 1. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy. Here, now we're right back where we started. We're going over this Jordan. And Moses told him here, he told him, he will go over before thee and will destroy these nations from before thee. It wasn't a matter. Can we, was it? And thou shalt possess them. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee as the Lord has said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded. Did somebody forget something? When they got over there and the spies come back and told, did somebody forget something? Moses said, here's what God told them through Moses. The Lord shall give them up before your face, and you will do unto them according to all the commandments. Somebody forgot something, didn't they? If we're not careful, we get in stressful situations. We forget the promises of God, that He will be with us. That writer in the psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the one that made heaven and earth. I mean, he made heaven and earth. That's where my help comes from. It's divine, isn't it? It's from above. And he said, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. Somebody forgot something. They had been told not to rebel. They'd been told they could do this. God had given it to them. Nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, and he will not fail thee, nor forsake. Well, he might fail us. No, he will not fail us, nor forsake us. Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. That's pretty easy language to understand, isn't it? The Lord will go before us. And I want us to be encouraged this morning, folks. God will go before us. God is going before us. The Scripture says, He winnoweth our path. He knows the way that we take. He knows those things. He knows all about those things. And sometimes we just, our mental attitude, we get mental anguish. Lord, help our faith to be strong and help us to our faith would be such that when we look at things and see the things that are coming upon the horizon today, that we'll see it with God in it. That we'll see it with God in it. Folks, that's where the hope is. That's where the doubts are erased. That's where the despair is. Lord, help us all to be strong in God's grace and be faithful to everything that He has called us to do for Him. I love the Lord this morning, and I know you all do too. Let's hold on. Let's be faithful. I don't know what we're going to face, but when you go through it, the waters, the fire, the river, I'll be with you, He said. I'll be with you. He's our Savior. I thank the Lord for it. Thank you for your time and attention.